Yo, let's go. It's the Great Debate Show with your host Jarvis Jeffries, along with Terrence Smith and Nick Ely, and we are back in the building, baby, and we are better than ever, baby. It's week one in the NFL, and we just watched the Kansas City Chiefs lose 0-1, the defending champions. What a surprise. Who would have thought? Who knew? They lose to the Detroit Lions 21-20 in a good, surprisingly defensive game. We got to also go over the AFC, NFC West predictions before Sunday. We almost let that one slip through the cracks, but we're going to quickly get that to you. And we're going to preview some of the most important games in week one. And I got to say, it's really not a lot, at least not on paper. But we don't know which game will really just jump off the schedule and just be really great. Who knows? But this was a good way to start the season. No Travis Kelce, of course. So, hey, good excuse for the Chiefs. This is not going to hurt them at all, right? Chris Jones being out. We'll talk about that right now. Nick, Terrence, how y'all doing, brothers?
Go ahead, Nick. My favorite time of the year. The football season is back. Glad to be able to just sit down and watch and enjoy a great game of football. Congrats to the Lions. They got it pulled out. We'll talk about that here soon. But it's a good time of year for me, man. I always love when the NFL kicks off.
I'm good, but I don't have to listen to my dad complain about Travis Kelce. Pretty much the whole weekend until next week. I can hear him now. Oh, he knows anything wrong with him, he won't say anything. He knows nothing wrong with him. something along those lines. So.
He doesn't. Hold on.
Other than that, I'm great.
Hold on. He doesn't think anything is wrong with him?
No, I'm sure that's what he will say.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Hey, you know what? I don't know if he listens to me or not here on a Great Debate Show, but you know, I always say you got to question those injuries that you never see on TV when they just claim they hyperextended something in practice. But again, hey, he should be ready for next week, they say, but he had he was dealing with more inflammatory issues with that knee, and he was in the pool early on Thursday morning, and hell, he couldn't go. He was in a lot of pain, so it makes sense to sit out. It's just week one. You got 16 more games to go. So I understood him sitting out. We will see how it goes, but guys, let's get right into it. The Chiefs lose. I don't know. I don't think you all gave your predictions. I don't think you did, but I did, and I said I got the Lions. I've had that game circle for a while now. I've said that you got to watch these teams when they get their rings on banner night. They don't always be successful. Now, I did see a record earlier today that said that since like 2008 or 9 or something, maybe not that long ago, but they're like 14-4 in opening nights after winning the championship. So I was surprised. I thought that number was way different from that, but that's pretty lopsided. But anyway, I still got it right.
Jarvis, there was one that was a streak that went down today. I'm surprised you didn't know about it before you made your bet.
What streak was that?
The Chiefs have not. This is the first time they've lost a season opener in 7 years.
Oh, I thought it was 5. No, that was Mahomes.
No. It's no, 5. Mahomes hasn't lost, but they didn't lose the two years before him either.
I did not know that. No, I missed it.
Now, wait a minute. Wait. Now, Nick, you had that information and was held it?
Yeah. What's up with that, Nick?
I saw it earlier.
What's up with that, Nick?
That's all right. You're more to run. It's going to be real interesting. You withholding information. Don't worry about it.
And look. He still put the Chiefs on a parlay. Did you? Didn't you, Nick?
No. I just did a two touchdowns deal. I just threw something in. I didn't see nothing I really just liked.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? Maybe something weird happens. It's not about the quarterbacks tonight. It's about the running backs. They've been giving a lot of hype to Jahmyr Gibbs. So I was like, you know, maybe he has a good debut. But, that didn't work out.
Well, thanks to Pacheco not getting the 50 rushing yards I needed, I did not win a good, 1,300 on one of them that I had. That was my.
You was about to be up.
Off of $20, hell yeah. $25, hell yes. I was about to be up. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Guys, let me start with Terrence first. No, let me start with Nick first, because I know what Terrence was doing just a minute ago. So I'm going to start with Nick. Why in the hell, or what in the hell happened to the Kansas City Chiefs down the stretch? This doesn't usually happen. First, they have an opportunity to get this 3rd-and-1, and they have a chance to, you know, they're trying to take the lead, get the lead back. And they run a fake, they run a little trickery. They get the Lions offsides, and then they didn't snap the ball. Of course, that wasn't Patrick Mahomes on the center. And by the time they snap it, the Lions get it sniffed out, and they get them for a loss in the backfield, and it's fourth down, and they have to punt. That was their best chance, and then we know what happened the second time. They got stuck in fourth and 25. So, Nick, give me your thoughts on this game. Why did the Chiefs lose, and what do you think of the Detroit Lions?
The Chiefs lost because they were missing their second and third best player on their team, and it was painfully obvious the times where they needed them most. You know, I'm going to disagree. We were talking a little bit in the pre-show, and Terrence was talking about how both of you guys, actually, kind of talking about how the Chiefs defense looked, I guess, maybe a little better than they expected, or, you know, whatever the case is. I disagree. I think that, they gave up 118 yards on the ground while having to commit a lot more guys to the line of scrimmage and to the front. Which is why they were giving up a lot of those deep passes over the middle, and Amon Ross St. Brown was eating over the middle. And so, that's something that Chris Jones shows up for you, because guess what? Now the Lions have to dedicate two offensive linemen to him instead of you having to dedicate extra guys to the front. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, we saw the number of drops that Kadarius Toney had, and a couple of plays where, you know, Mahomes gets outside the pocket and is looking to make a play. And you just know that those are the times where Travis Kelce generally shows up for him. And him being on the sideline, obviously, you know, doesn't help the Chiefs. All that being said, the Chiefs are right there in the game. And that has everything to do with Patrick Mahomes being who he is. But hats off to the Lions. They definitely showed up, played a good game, played a great game. And, look like a contender this year for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick, I thank you for that perfect segue, because that's actually where I was coming in. I just want to make it known that the Detroit Lions were my pick just the other day to win the NFC North. Of course, we want to put a slight asterisk beside this game, but listen, those teams still line up 11-on-11. At the end of the day, the Detroit Lions still have to come out and win that game. They did that, even though, you know, small margins, but margins don't matter. All that matters at the end is the W and the L. The Lions got the win today. Hey, just one step closer to the division and making me look pretty smart. but listen, I do think that Detroit just has a different swagger about them. This year early on, they went for a punt fake deep in their own territory. Like, who does that, right? But yeah, so like, who does that? But this is a team now that wants to win, and that is a play that tells me you want to win. I don't advise anybody else to do that. But you know, hey, look, when you're playing against the defending champs, opening night on their home turf, why not, right? That shows me you want to win. This Lions team is not a team that's going to just stand by and let them be defined by the Lions teams of the past. So I appreciate the way I see them come out at the very least fight.
Yeah, they did. They definitely done that. And so congratulations to the Detroit Lions. They got the dub. I'm not surprised. It was a lot closer than I expected. I never expected Kelce to play. I'm not going to lie. I thought the Detroit Lions were going to win by 10 or better. But I was impressed with the Chiefs defense. I know that the Detroit Lions still had about, let's see here, 368 yards of total offense. Over 100 yards of rushing, true enough. But they got stops when they needed to. There was a lot of drives that I thought could have really, really set the tone, and the Lions could have ran away with the game. But I thought there was too many of those little dump out screens, those quick out screens and everything, where they would bat it down, and I'm like, they're at the line. They're jumping. And I just got tired of some of those play calls, and they killed some good drives that they had to punt. A lot of fourth and threes that should have been first downs. But they say the offensive coordinator is good. They're happy he stayed. I'm going to give some more credit, though, to the Chiefs defense and the young secondary. We've heard so much about how young they are. A lot of these guys in the secondary, second-year players. I know they won the Super Bowl last year as rookies, but, man, Chris Jones was on the field. I didn't think they would be that successful without Chris Jones. But that Nick Bolton, third-year guy, middle linebacker, he was really playing like a stud today. I didn't really know him until now. I mean, I remember the name.
Out of Missouri.
Out of Missouri? Okay, so he's at home, too. He's still at home. Playing in a home state. I remember the name a little bit, but he really jumped out the screen tonight. And I really do have to give them credit for that. The Chiefs aren't going anywhere. I think we know that. What does this say, though, before we move on? congratulations to the Lions again. And once again, not to remind everybody, but I was right. I definitely said the Lions were going to win. And I said it with confidence. But what do you think the Chiefs? I mean, Chris Jones was in the booth. He said he wanted to be there because he played a major part in winning the Super Bowl last year, which he did. Now, I don't have a problem with him holding out. The guy has won 2 Super Bowls. Nick Bosa hadn't won a Super Bowl yet. And we're going to get to his contract in a minute here. But Nick Bosa hadn't won a thing yet as far as championships. And he wasn't bullshitting. He wasn't coming until he got his money. So I don't blame Chris Jones for not coming until he got his money. But where he's messing up at is telling the team, the organization, and us, the public, that he will be there week 8 because he is not going to miss the whole season. He is definitely going to get credit for the season, and he will be there week 8. It looks like the Chiefs will wait until then. I mean, if they gotten their asses dragged, if there was 200 rushing yards on them, or if it just looked bad, they couldn't get any pressure, or that's a good offensive line. I will say that, too, for the Lions. But they had some moments where it was like, okay, you can't really tell Chris Jones isn't there. Did this hurt him at all, or how do you think this is going to play out, Nick, and then Terrence?
I definitely think it helped him. Like I was saying, you know, in the first part about the game, I feel like his lack of him not being there, he was definitely missed on a lot of those plays. Well, like I said, the Chiefs had to commit more people up front than they otherwise would because Chris Jones automatically commands 2 people, sometimes 3. That's just what it is. Cause, I mean, and you can see evidence of that even on the other side with the Lions, Aiden Hutchinson. Because, first of all, the Chiefs' right tackle was false starting all damn night.
All night long. Oh, my God.
Right. They went to the fourth quarter on a play that really matters before they finally call it, which was nuts. But
this is why you can't beat the Chiefs.
Anyway, I mean, and the reason he was false starting all night is because Aiden Hutchinson was whooping his ass.
Yeah.
And they would move Aiden Hutchinson inside because they clearly weren't calling the false start. And he would whoop the guard.
Mm-hmm.
And the guard didn't have a chance. And so, you know, if the Chiefs have their, you know, their answer for that and Chris Jones on the other side, then maybe, you know, you never know what play he makes that flips the tide of this game and keeps the Chiefs in position to win it. And you know, certainly you don't want to give 2 chances to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I was surprised, honestly, when they got the turnover where they did turnover down where they did, that he wasn't able to drive him down and at least get a field goal out of it. So if he'd have gotten a second chance, you know, long ball, Chris Jones makes a play, whatever, who knows what that turns into.
Are the Kansas City Chiefs, I'll give you that.
I think this is a help for Chris Jones. I think when they look at their film, they go, damn, these are plays that Chris Jones probably makes for us that flip this game.
Well, for his sake, I hope so. Terrence, what do you think? Is Terrence still there? Chris Jones. Well, I'll say this. I don't know where Terrence is right now, but I'll say this. Okay. Well, your thoughts on Chris Jones, briefly. Your thoughts on Chris Jones.
Hey, listen, the Detroit Lions, even though I do think they are still an up-and-coming team, this is a game you should win. Now, I'm not saying that you lost that game because Chris Jones isn't there, but I'm saying that your team is exponentially better with him on the field, plain and simple.
Yeah.
I don't think that this game hurt his case by any means. I think the only thing that probably hurt his case is what we'll talk about in a few minutes, and that's Bosa's contract. But other than that, no, man, they know they have to get him paid, and if they're going to be losing games to the Lions, which they're a good team, not a great team to me, they better get him paid because they're going to be losing more games than this case.
Right. Well, I mean, we'll see how the Lions look next week and for the rest of the season. I think they're going to be a lot more explosive, and I'm still giving some credit to the Chiefs defense. Chris Jones, I hope he gets paid, though. He deserves it. He needs it. And again, he's won you 2 Super Bowls. Why is he not paid yet? But he was there, and you know, it was good for him to be there and see them lose. I just thought that game was too close for Kelce and Chris Jones to be out. I expected more from the Lions. But we will see how that goes. They did keep a lot of people at the line of scrimmage. It was, you know, but this is a good O-line in Detroit. Goff, he hung in there. St. Brown, everybody had a decent game, but I just thought it could be more. Him and Marvin Jones couldn't get a good connection going on Thursday night, but that will change, I'm sure. Impressed with the rookie running back. You know, he didn't get enough carries, in my opinion. But it's going to be a good season, I think, with the mixture of him and David Montgomery. So I can't wait to see what the Lions are going to do. I've got a one in the North, of course. And again, good win tonight for them. We'll see what happens with Chris Jones. I never doubted that the Chiefs would lose this game, though. I knew they were not going to you know, do what everybody thought they was going to do. I just knew it wasn't going to happen on Thursday night. It just wasn't going to be tonight. So we'll see how it goes later on in the season with them. Next week, I think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to Jacksonville. I know they're going to be trying to get Kelce back for that one, because if they don't, and still no Chris Jones, of course, that could be a trap game. And the Chiefs could be looking at 0-2 here. We will see. But again, good win for the Detroit Lions. Now let's keep it moving. Chris Jones hadn't got paid, but Nick Bosa did. I had my doubts on if we should pay him or not. And I'm gonna be brief, but here's my reasons on why I, you know, was like, you know what, we should get him, we should keep him, but we should win now, because that contract at 34 million per, oh my God, that is going to really haunt us for the next few years here, for the next several years after this season. Now, I'm not sure all of the language of the contract yet. I don't know if it's really him getting the $17 million only for this year, and they're extending the 5 years on top of that. I heard that, but I don't know how true that is. Usually, we always come out on top with these contracts. It's usually team-friendly, regardless how bad it looks or how good it looks for Bosa. It's $120 million guaranteed. I'm not sure if it's fully guaranteed or not, but he does have, 5 years? $170 million, $120 guaranteed. That's 34 per. Now, here's the reasons why I didn't know if we should keep him or not. Because it's going to haunt us. We've got Brandon Ayuk we have to pay next year. We have Brock Purdy if he works out. If he turns out to be who we hope he is, then he's going to have to get paid the year after that. That's just, you know, it's just a lot of money on the books. And immediately after we made that deal, we had to go ask George Kittle and Trent Williams to take some pay cuts. And they restructured their contract, and we freed up a good 23-point-something million. Good move. I don't know if that's to go get another pass rusher on the other side of Bosa or not. I'm hearing Brian Burns, but I don't think we're going to do that. Brian Burns is about to get the bank. Well, he's trying to get the bank, not Bosa bank, but he's ready to get paid. I don't think we can do that to two pass rushers. But the reason why I didn't know if we should keep him is because I wonder why would we pay a non-quarterback money only to limit the future moves because of cap issues and current contracts. I also wondered about Bosa's value. You know, it's the highest that it's ever been right now. So you could have got multiple picks, multiple future first-round picks and players that were, you know, that would have came cheap. Now, I know it probably would have took two people like a Jalen Phillips, like a Bradley Chubb, and a first-round pick from Miami, because I was hearing he was going to Miami. But the Jets with Salah, and we would have had to get some, well, I don't know if they had the draft picks, but we definitely could have got some players and some picks. But, I mean, I was just wondering. You could get the house right now, a haul of picks for Nick Bosa. And I know people are saying, no, you don't do that, you don't do that. Well, you did it with Buckner. You can get a lot more for Bosa. And I know Bosa's better, more impact on the game and all of that. But again, we have no defensive line depth. So you could add cheaper edge rushers and add stronger depth through a trade. You got to extend Ayuk, as I said, but he will be cheaper. And, you know, Bosa, he's probably going to get hurt. He has been hurt before. He's got multiple ACL injury history. The 49ers run defense inside looks pretty bad, with or without Bosa. So I just kind of wonder, should we do this? Because we waited too long to pay him. Let's just trade him now and get what we can get for him, and that would be a lot. Now you've paid him. Now he's on the books. Now you're hooked. You're on the hook. And on top of that, you may not even have him for the full season. We'll see. Kyle Shanahan said he didn't see why he shouldn't play the entire game. What the hell? Watch Kyle Shanahan get this man hurt. Watch him pull something. If he plays the entire game on Sunday trying to get Kenny Pickett. Now, I'm not saying he can't do it. They said T.J. Watt showed up 2 days before it was time to play football, and he got 2.5 sacks. I'm not saying Bosa's not that dude and can't do it. But you better be careful, because you haven't played in pads in quite some time. That was my take. Guys, quickly, Nick Bosa got the bag. Do you all agree? And what does this mean now that the Niners have gotten their man and he's ready to go? Are they? What do you think they are now that they have him in the building?
Let me ask you
ask you this. Did I hear you say that you think Nick Bosa's contract negatively impacts Chris Jones?
And that's a report I was reading literally just a few minutes ago from Big Don Klein, I think the gentleman's name is. He's a football insider. I think I read that the Chiefs and him and Chris Jones were nearing a contract, and then news about Bosa's came out, so they kind of held back a little bit. Now, I could be wrong, but it's just something I glanced at just a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Well, Chris Jones is not looking to break the bank now. That's why it's so surprising that he hasn't got paid yet. He wasn't looking for Aaron Donald money. I think it was somewhere around $28-29 million he would have took. I don't know what the number is that the Chiefs have offered.
3 years, 84. Aaron Donald's in 3 years, 95.
Yeah, I know he's getting 31 per or something like that. So I was right, though, about Bosa wanting 35. It's obvious I was right. That rumor had to be right because he got 34, and they were at a $4 million gap. And I thought he needed to be drug tested. But the Niners said, all right, we see he's not bullshitting. Give it to him. And they made it work somehow, some way. And then they restructured a few contracts afterwards. But it's great to have Bosa in the building. I hope he stays healthy, because if he does, that is going to be a dangerous, nasty D-line. I'm just worried about the depth if somebody gets hurt. And I hope it's not Bosa. But when you've been out...
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's my only opinion. Listen, the 49ers don't have the same goals as a lot of teams. The 49ers know that they have a Super Bowl window, and not to say that it's closing, but they are in their window. Most teams are trying to get to that window, but the 49ers are deep in their window.
Yeah,
and you can't let your most dominant guy on defense know.
That's right.
No matter what your opinion of him is, if you want to stay within that window right now. And while he's young, you still have to pay.
Man,
it just came out today, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you agree that they should have done it, though? You know, do you? I mean, I know I made a lot of, and again, I'm not saying we should have traded him. I'm not saying it was a mistake to pay him. I just had two different scenarios on why he should stay and why he should go. Because, you know.
Well, I think timing is everything, right? Like, if this was a situation where if he's at the same age and at the same production, and they are totally at the end of their window or near the end of their window, then you trade them. But, you know, most of their core talent are still pretty young. Debo's fairly young. Brandon Ayuk is young. Brock Purdy, if he is the guy, is extremely young. Bosa's young. So a lot of their core talent, they still have a young team that is in their window. And you don't want to just let those guys walk. Now, I understand that you probably could have traded them and got some, realistically, you probably could have gotten at least a couple of first round picks, maybe just truly one and maybe one in the third or one in the second. You could have gotten some high draft picks or high caliber players from him, but you don't do that unless you are at the end of your window, in my opinion, and you're trying to retool or restocking picks. And they're not in this. Picks won't do them any good right now, to be honest, because they are trying to win this year. And they'll worry about the rest of it later.
And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Picks. They better win this year. Or Kyle Shanahan, if I'm Jared York, he should be saying, "That's your ass, Mr. Postman." It better be now, because that window is about to slam shut. But anyway, Nick, I just want to ask you one more. Go ahead. What's that, Nick?
Why is that window about to slam shut, Jarvis?
Because there's no...
You just outline all of your best players.
There's no...
under 30 years old, except for Trent Williams and George Kittle.
Trent Williams is probably playing his last season in the NFL, as far as we know. Don't know for sure. He may go a little longer, but this could be his last year, for all we know. What do we do after that, if he's done? Then, next year, the next year, and the next year, you've got all of this 34 per on the books. And you've got to deal with Ayuk, as I said, Purdy coming up. I'm sure there's other people. Dre Greenlaw, when is he going to get paid? You know, there's a lot of people that has to get paid. I mean, other people are in line to get paid. And we usually get it done, but we didn't get it done with Button.
Maybe some of them get traded, and then you get some stuff.
Maybe some of who?
You keep the best ones.
Maybe some. Well, I mean, look, sometimes somebody's only the best when he's surrounded by the rest of these guys. When you lose some of these people, I'm not so sure about that. It's about to slam shut, Nick, because damn, I mean,
which way of that coin do you think is true of Nick Bosa? Do you think Nick Bosa is that good because of the people around him, or do you think the people around him look better because Nick Bosa's there?
Well, it's no doubt about it. He definitely makes the defense better. No doubt about it.
So what we talking about?
I just said that I had two different scenarios on why we should keep him and why we should trade him. It was taking too damn long. If you get the shit done in June or July, no problems. But the fact that you wait until 3 days before it's time to suit up and play ball, it's a chance that he could get hurt.
It's a long season, dog. He's going to be all right.
Well, we don't know that, Nick. We don't know that. People get hurt every time they miss training camp. Significant time. They miss significant time. Sometimes they're done for the season when they miss training camp. We didn't just come from under a rock or just jump off the porch and just started watching football. We've seen this for quite some time. I'm not jinxing the man or saying he's going to get hurt. What I'm saying is, Nick Bosa, as good as he is, when you take this long to show up or it takes us this long to pay you, we have to start to wonder now. It got to be black or white for me. There was no shades of gray. Nothing in between. Pay him now, get it done, or get rid of him. Because we have to get ready to play football. And we need to either get a lot of picks so we can keep that window cracked or open a little bit more. Because, hey, guess what? We don't have to pay that money anymore so we can spread the talent around some more like we've been doing. And my only question was that I don't mind with keeping him. But if I can't have him for a majority of this 5-year contract, and if I lose him the first year of this contract because he missed training camp and he pulls something, it's going to hamper him all season long, which is what a hamstring or, you know, a groin or something like that would do, then it's like, oh my God, we could have had two other players and a pick, or two picks and a player, you know, to replace him with that. And that does keep the window open. Now, there's no money really left. You know, like, they did save some cap space today, yesterday.
Let me ask you another question, Jarvis. If you had made a trade for Nick Bosa for two players that aren't as good as Nick Bosa and a first round pick, do you have a better or worse chance of winning the Super Bowl this year?
I would say the same chance, and my reason for saying that is because I don't know if we have the quarterback we need to win the Super Bowl yet. I still don't know that. And so I'm not cool with giving a non-QB QB money when we don't know if we got a damn QB. That's my only issue.
Y'all got a QB that y'all pay like the mid-range money, like the bottom half of the top 10 or maybe top 15 type money. And if it works. Like a Daniel Jones. You know, like, I mean, look, like $40 million sounds like a lot of money. But like in comparison to the quarterbacks that make the most money, $40 million is not a lot of money. You understand what I'm saying? Like Joe Burrow, as we're going to talk about as well, he just signed for $53.5 million a year or something like that.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson, I think, was $49.5 million. Jalen Hurts, I think, is $48.5 million. Lamar, I think, is $50 million and some change. You know, all of these guys, I mean, so.
If we traded him, I hear what you're saying, and I know where you're going with it, but if we traded him, and I'm not saying we should have, I'm just saying it took too damn long.
Is your team better or worse this year if you trade Nick Bosa for
It depends on what we get for him.
Did you say Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb?
That would have been nice. But here's the best part about it. Here's the sweetest part about it.
Does that make your team better this year?
If we get that first round pick, I don't know. But if we get that first round pick to add to those two players, even if we don't win this year, we can use that first round pick for, well, I don't know what the position will be because I don't know where we will be drafting it the next year. But it's good to know that we would have a one in our pocket. And I would say that we probably wouldn't be better, but we wouldn't be much worse because even though it would take two edge rushers to make up for the one great Nick Bosa that he is, I'll take it if I still got $34 million off the books.
I guess the reason I asked that is then how are you then keeping your window open if you made your team worse?
We've got more picks and players.
Even with that being said, you still don't have to pay Brock Purdy yet. You got like another year or two before you got to pay him.
I see. Okay. See.
Unless
see.
Unless he just goes crazy.
See.
Even if he is the quarterback of the Super Bowl winning team, if y'all were to win one.
Again, Nick, you were not listening. Nick, evidently you weren't listening to me. I said that I had two scenarios on why we should keep them and why we should trade them. The reason why I say we should trade them, basically, the main reason is because it took too damn long. It's time to play football and your ass isn't here. So how about this? You get hurt, you'll be hurt somewhere else in Miami or somewhere else with your brother in L.A. I don't give a damn. Give me something in return for that.
And he put up 19.5 sacks.
Hey, man. Since he signed the deal, he better break Michael Strahan's record, if you want to be honest. But this is what I'm saying, though. You missed the part when I said we don't have any defensive line depth. We're top heavy. In my book, from what I've seen and what I've heard about training camp, I don't know if Drake Jackson, second year pass rusher out of USC, is going to make a progression. We hope so.
Trade them niggas.
You can't trade a second year pro to get anything for it. But if you trade Nick Bosa, you can get the house. You can get the house and the car.
Trade somebody else. Get the depth another way.
I have no problem with that. How many times did I say trade Debo last year? This past offseason, I have no problem with trading somebody else. Hey, but they were at camp. Somebody else was at camp, though. Nick Bosa wasn't. And I told you it took too long. Again, if you would let me finish, we don't have, in my opinion, the defensive line depth. You trade him, you can get some depth and some picks. And it does keep the window open a little bit longer. The reason why it's shutting now is because all the money is gone just about. You better win now. And we probably will. I hope we do. I'm just saying that the run defense is bad with or without Bosa. I said that 15 minutes ago. You must have missed that. I know my team. That run defense in the interior does not look that good. Javon Hargrave is a great pass rusher, but he ain't that good at stopping the run. We're playing wide nine from what I've been hearing. Why? That's not good. That's definitely not good to stop the run inside. That's going to happen with or without Bosa. But if you could have got some depth and some picks, it does stretch the window open a little bit more, in my opinion. But again, I'm glad we've got him. I'm not saying we didn't need him. We just better win now, because his contract is going to be the reason why we won't be able to add talent like we have been able to do for the past several years, keeping that window open. Jordan Willis isn't there anymore. Charles Emenihu isn't there anymore. The Arden Keys and the, what's the other guy that I'm missing? We've lost a lot of that depth, a Samson Ebukam. These guys are gone. So I'm like, we can't afford to get injured. That's my only problem. We just can't afford to get hurt. But I could be wrong. Drake Jackson may be good depth. What's the other guy's name? I can't think of him right now. The guy we just brought in, Cleveland Farrell, the former first-round pick from the Raiders. Some people are already starting to call a bust. Now, we do have a good defensive line coach named Chris Kocurek, and he does get the most out of these guys who just can't seem to find their way in the NFL. And I'm hoping and banking on that to happen. But if not, there's no depth. That's all I'm saying. And, you know, we've got a guy who's very good who is signed. But damn, they always usually get nicked up, man, when they miss training camp. That's all I'm saying. So I would have been like, hey, man, you better come on or we finna trade you. Now, he came in time. They paid him. They got it done in time. But if we got to the point where we were going to start missing games without him, he was going to have to start missing games, then we're losing. And he's winning. And that's what I was afraid of. But they got it done. So it's all good. But I wanted to give my scenarios on why, you know, I thought it was about time to probably trade him if we don't get it done now. They did, but it was almost too late. It was almost too late. That's all I'm saying. But Nick, man, I hope we win the whole damn thing, of course. I've just been saying all offseason we're a little top heavy. And we can't afford to have too many injuries. And the reason why I worry about that is because the 49ers have the most injuries out of any other team in the NFL. The Ravens are not far away from that. The Baltimore Ravens, they take a lot of blows too. But nobody gets injured more than the Niners. I mean, we went to our fourth quarterback, damn it, last year. You know, so it happens. But anyway, we got to move on. Let's keep it pushing. We got AFC, NFC West predictions. And we want to quickly talk about that before we get into week one. Before we do that quickly, Joe Burrow, $275 million contract. How much is that guaranteed? How much is
218
that?
218.5, I think it was.
218.5 guaranteed. All right, Terrence, Nick, I want y'all, let's start with Terrence first because this is his guy. Well, not his guy, but he's in his division. And although they don't really struggle against the Bengals, but I want to know, Terrence, what's your thoughts about Joe Burrow? He's going to be a Bengal for a long time to come. How do you see that? How do you see that playing out? He struggled to get back in week one, but he will be ready for week one. I actually don't know if they'll win that game, though, because the Browns really do play them good. But what do you think about Joe Burrow getting that contract with the Bengals?
You know, Joe Burrow can make as much money as he wants to make. That contract could be $300 million a year. At the end of the day, he still looks like Macaulay Culkin.
He kind of does, man. He actually kind of does.
But in all seriousness, good for Joe.
Yeah.
Joe's rookie year, he tore his ACL, and I think he had a very bad knee injury, and he came back, and he's been guns a-blazing ever since then. So kudos to him, hats off to him. Very tough guy. Nothing but respect for Joe, and plays in the toughest division in football, and still comes and brings his lunchbox to work every day, man. That's a tough dude. So nothing but respect to him and a well deserved contract. And who's up next? Who's gonna be the next guy up next with the contract?
Oh, they got to redo Mahomes' deal.
They gonna redo Mahomes. So
well, Justin Herbert is up too.
He's the highest paid out player in league history.
Justin Herbert.
If we're being completely honest about it, they did all of these in sequential order. From back to front, the lower rated quarterback you are, your deal gets done first. And so now we have Burrow, so the only one left is Mahomes.
No, that's not true. Justin Herbert is not better than Burrow, but he hasn't got paid yet. And it better not be more than Joe Burrow.
Justin Herbert did get paid.
Did he? Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it. Okay. I forgot. Oh, he did.
He got paid not long ago, but Lamar got paid, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. All right. You're right, Nick. You're right then. They did it exactly in order. Well, I will ask this. I will say this, though. I told you guys that Joe Burrow and Nick Bosa shared the same agent. It's very ironic how they got their deals back-to-back days, just like that. So, yeah.
That's one hell of an agent right there. He's doing good.
He's doing very good. He's doing
great right now.
He's doing very good. He's up for sure. All right, week one, guys. No, not week one yet. AFC West, NFC West. Let's dive into that real quick, and then we'll get into those games with the week for week one. All right, so we heard about Let's quickly get into Sean Payton and what he said about Russell Wilson. I'm sure you all heard about that, right? He doesn't want Russell Wilson to, you know, be this poster kid. Stop clapping. Stop, you know, what did he say? Stop taking pictures with the kids. Stop worrying about. Stop kissing the babies. Stop worrying about Russell Wilson Inc. Incorporated. And, you know, let's focus on playing some football or getting some wins. Now, guys, I don't know what y'all thought about the Broncos this season. I don't know what you thought Sean Payton and Russell Wilson were going to do together. We thought that they were having a pretty good relationship watching them in the NBA Finals damn near every home game in Denver. But now it seems like it's already getting a bit rocky. So I'm going to ask you, Terrence, I'm going to start with you first. Before you give me your pick on who's going to win the AFC West, was Sean Payton out of line here? And I will quickly say Russell Wilson, he didn't really clap back. He just said, hey, you know, he's used to this. He's always been doubted. And he's ready to prove himself again. He didn't really, you know, take that shot back or that jab back. But I don't know, man. It's not a good feeling. Did it leave a bad taste in Russell's mouth? How is this season going to go with them?
You know, I'm not sure how to really feel about it, except for Sean Payton has got to learn the timeless lesson of shutting the hell up.
He's doing a lot of talking right now, isn't he?
He's doing a whole lot of talking. You're not an NFL analyst anymore. Yeah, Russell Wilson is not running for president. He's not running for mayor. He's not running for county supervisor. But damn, like you're also not trying to be somebody's manager either, right? They don't need you to be a mouthpiece. They need you to coach football.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it seems like that year off cost him a little bit of decency. Man, shut the hell up.
Man, no cap. Who you got winning the West then? I mean, you're probably not picking the Broncos.
This should be the time where I say, hey, your team is going to have to show me that they can dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs over in the AFC West. And this is going to be the time where I say a team is going to have to show me they can dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs out in the AFC West.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Chiefs until I see otherwise.
Oh, don't forget now, they've already won 7 straight division AFC West crowns. Uh-oh. And Nick, how do you feel? And Nick Ealy, how do you feel about that? They lost after 7 straight openers, and they lost tonight. How do you feel about that? Like, is that just a coincidence again in your mind, or are you finally starting to see I'm onto something with this? How many times have we saw these win streaks end at 7?
Well,
And you brought it up. I didn't even catch it. You brought it up, Nick. You gotta think something to this.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was one of those situations, you know, Chris Jones contract situation. Travis Kelce gets hurt.
And it could be the very reason why all of this happened, and everybody will probably be back Sunday.
Like, it's just the levels to which the conspiracy would have to go don't make sense to me, because I feel like the people involved in the conspiracy would benefit more from just doing it the right way. But that's neither here nor there.
I just wondered what your take was on it. I mean, you bring it up. You catch this stuff a lot more than I do now these days. And I just wondered what you thought about it. But hey, yeah, but just to warn you, Terrence is saying, hey, prove me wrong. And I feel you on that. I mean, we should be tired of going against the Chiefs. I know I should. But again, I just had to remind you all, they've won 7 straight. That could be it. Or at least for 1 year. Like, somebody could stop that streak. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with Terrence. I'm riding with the Chiefs until somebody knocks them off. You know, Lions won tonight. That's great. Like, as I mentioned, missing the second and third best player, and those, both of those guys are probably top 10 players in the NFL, period. And so, you know, Lions are a good team. They were able to get the win, won by 1 point, but they did get the W. And so you would think that the Chiefs would get, you know, both of those guys back here at some point. Travis probably sooner than Chris, and then they can roll from there. You know, so those guys they'll be okay. The Chargers are going to be a good team, good tough out. Raiders and Broncos, I don't have much hope for.
I don't know about the Raiders. I don't know about the Broncos. I really can't say, but I think for some reason,
winning the division is out of the question.
I'm not going to say that either. I'm not going to say it's out of the question, because for some reason I think the Raiders are going to be better than what people think, what I thought. And now I'm kind of backpedaling a little bit on what I said about the Raiders. I don't know. I'm leaning toward with them being better than what I thought, but no, I won't give them the crown. Staley's going to get fired this year. He's supposed to be a DC guy, but the Chargers defense underachieves every year. I think this will be it if he doesn't, you know, either win the division or win a playoff game. He probably will do neither. And I'll still have to talk about Justin Herbert if he doesn't do that. You've gotten paid and you still haven't won a playoff game. I put him on a hot seat last year. He let me down in Jacksonville. And I won't be surprised if that happens again, because Brandon Staley is really not a good coach. I don't know why he came back this year. Well, I know why he came back, but this should be it this year. So, and then there's the Broncos. I just don't know what to think about them. I'm not going to go jump out the window for the Broncos this year again. But it's just a lot of stuff, a lot of drama going on with them right now. And I don't know if that's going to be good or bad. They open up Sunday against the hosting the Raiders, and I just don't know. I don't know. I think they're going to be better. I do think they're going to be better, but I don't know how much better. So I said all of that to say, I guess the Chiefs will still win the crown. But I will say this, after all of the drops we saw on Thursday night, this opening night against the Lions with the receivers, Tony and all those guys with the drops, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a Mike Evans trade coming to Kansas City. You heard it here first. He's definitely wanting to get out of Tampa Bay. And I won't be surprised if they do that. Now, if they do that, of course they're going to blow the AFC West wide the fuck open again. yeah, wouldn't be surprised. But anyway, we're all going to say the Chiefs. I mean, hopefully they won't do it this year now that I'm picking them. Again, because that seven is something serious now. But we'll see. Let's move on to the NFC West. All right, guys.
Here's the thing, though. Mike Evans did set a deadline for tomorrow. I mean, not tomorrow, but Saturday. And then to get a deal done. So,
and they're not.
Tomorrow,
they're not. They're not.
Hey, you might be on something.
Yeah, I mean, from what I saw, they definitely could use him. And again, that's Patrick Mahomes. We know that. But, man, the Detroit Lions secondary, give them some credit. Your boy Gardner Johnson over there. They got my boy Emmanuel Mosley, who didn't play. But he will be back. He's a corner, outside corner. He can play some man. He can run. He can run. And so, yeah, watch out for that. That's young secondary, that revamped secondary, I should say. It wasn't bad, but they still blew some chances, the KC offense and the receivers. So, yeah, Mike Evans, anybody thinking that he's washed or he's locked, all right, trade him to KC and see what happens. All right, and he doesn't want to play with no Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask. That's for damn sure. That's why he's demanding what he's demanding, knowing that he won't get it. So remember, you heard that here first. Now let's shift to the NFC West. 49ers won it last year. The Rams won it the year before that. And the Niners won it in 2019. I don't know who won it in 2020. It doesn't matter. We had a terrible year there. But the NFC West has been kind of, you know, like, it's the Niners or the Rams. And then Seattle, they're just now starting to get back in the fold. So, guys, in the NFC West, I think we all know the Arizona Cardinals are in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. Although, they better think that, because Caleb Williams is letting it be known, hey, I will keep my black ass in USC for another year, if depending on who's number one, who got the number one pick. And I don't blame him one bit. I think more quarterbacks should do this if they know they're going to be the number one pick. They don't have to go to these teams. If you don't want to go, yeah, stay another year and just keep your fingers crossed that, you know, nothing bad happens and you can come back the next year. But I think the Cardinals will be at the bottom.
Team's probably going to suck again next year,
Yeah. But I think we all can agree that the Cardinals will be at the bottom. Kyler Murray's probably not even going to play in 2023. But the other three, it's up for grabs, I guess. How do y'all see this going in the NFC West? Who wins and why?
So out of all the divisions, this might be the absolute easiest one to call. This is the 49ers division to lose. If the 49ers don't win the division, Jarvis, everybody's got to go.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to go. And there's no, hey, wait till next year. I just said that they are in their window. Most teams are trying to get to a window. They're in their window. The Rams are nowhere near their window. The Cardinals are nowhere near their window. Seattle is well on the outside. They're not a bad team, but they're nowhere near, nowhere near a great team or a championship contender. But they're an okay team. They can win some games for sure. 49ers are the only division, only team in the division that is literally inside a Super Bowl window. So losing that division, there's no exception to that. Everybody goes if they don't win the division this year.
Okay. Nickelodeon?
Jarvis, you want to go? This is your division.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Well, if we stay healthy, which is very, very hard to do for us sometimes, which is another reason why people should be second-guessing how long Shanahan's going to hang around here in San Francisco. George Kittle is hurt right now with a groin injury. I'm not sure if he's suiting up for Sunday or not. Maybe, maybe not. But his style of play, his style of coaching, like, Kittle's blocking sometimes more than he's running routes. And that's the reason why this man is always hurt. And why is he in OTAs and minicamp and getting all these reps in training camp to make Purdy, help Purdy look good, and but not get reps with Trey Lance and all that crap? And then now he's hurt. Like, Shanahan just... we're going to win the division if we stay healthy. But I will say this. We can't afford to have too many injuries. I don't think we have the depth like a lot of 49er fans think. I'm going to say the Seahawks are going to be right on our ass this year. They've drafted a wide receiver. What's his name? I can't think of the guy's name.
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Him. I've been hearing a lot of great things about him in camp. Now you're adding him with DK Metcalf. Is Tyler Lockett still around? I think so. He's still there, right? They've got a good running back. If Geno Smith can repeat what he did, if it wasn't a fluke, the Seahawks are going to be on our ass. I'm telling you that right now. I think they're going to win 11 games. Easy. Probably 12. And I don't know if we're going to win 13 games again this year. I'm going to give us the nod because it's my team. I'm being very biased here because I really think the Seahawks are going to take this division this year. But I don't care about the division. I care about the Super Bowl. But I'm going to say San Fran won if we can stay healthy for the most part, and Seattle too. But I'm telling you, if Seattle wins this division, remember I said this, it will not be a surprise at all to me because I don't know if we're going to win the Super Bowl or if this shit is going to blow up and hit the fan. You know, like, I really don't. For some reason, all the drama, and it may be over with now. All the drama may be over, but it was a dark-ass cloud over the 49ers the entire offseason, and it was about to drizzle, and then it was about to pour down. But Trey Lance is gone. We're finally done with that. It's under the rug. Bosa's here, so that's under the rug. So maybe there's some sunny days ahead. We hope. I hope. We'll see. But I'm just saying, man, we're just one or two injuries away from this being the 2014 season when Harbaugh and the Niners mutually agreed to part ways, the first and only year that he didn't take them to an NFC Championship / Super Bowl, which was, like, asinine. I know there was a lot of reasons why they couldn't wait to get rid of Harbaugh, but all he did was win. He was very successful. Of course, he didn't win the Super Bowl, but this could be 2014 all over again. That's what I'm saying, because if we don't do what we're supposed to do, you have to point the finger back at Kyle and say, you messed this up. You got a fourth-round pick for Trey, and he's gone, and he's balling in Dallas. Let's just say he is, you know. That one looked good. Or Purdy gets hurt if they rushed him back, like some people think they probably did. Or if he just isn't who we thought he was, now that everybody's gotten a look at him and they know his limitations, and he does have physical limitations. And we're stuck with Sam Darnold. This is what you're banking on, Kyle. You better be right. That's all I'm saying. If you're not, yes, this shit could blow up. And we won't even make the playoffs, depending on who gets hurt and when. I'm going to go with the Niners, and I'm being very biased. But I won't be surprised if Seattle wins this thing. Go ahead, Nick. I'm hearing good things about Seattle, too. That's what I'm saying. We've had a lot of drama, and I don't know what's going on with us. I'm hoping for the best. But Seattle, I'm hearing good things about them. They're young, but man, I don't think last year was a fluke.
You're kind of stealing my thunder right now, Jarvis. I'm being honest with you.
I'm sorry, man.
That's kind of exactly where I was going. It's like, y'all got a lot going on over there. You know, Brock Purdy, I don't know that. It feels like he came back a little fast. Compared to what the early timeline was that they gave us, so there's that.
Yeah.
And I think the Seahawks are good, man. I'm gonna call it like I see it.
Yeah.
Geno Smith balled out last year. They added another threat on the outside of Jackson Smith and Jigba. Tyler Lockett really gets to kind of dominating that slot. And you gotta keep in mind, this is a guy that was really playing as a number one receiver for a number of years for Seattle. So him being able to play in the slot is, I'm not gonna say it's cake, but it's certainly. It's a different skill set, but it's one that he's really more suited for, especially having those two guys, DK and Jackson Smith and Jigba, to play outside of him. So that could get real good real fast. So I'm rolling with Seattle to win the division. I think it'll be a tight division. I think the 49ers have enough talent to where it'll be a competitive division, and the 49ers will still make it as a wild card. May even actually be that fifth seed. But, I'm going to roll with Seattle. That's going to be my dark horse. That's
going to be
my wild card.
Man, I think it's a good pick. I don't blame you one bit. I'm not offended at all. I mean, everything that you said made sense. It has been a lot of dark clouds over the Niners and a lot of drama, man. And Shanahan is every I think he's the reason for every bit of it. And look, we had our chances. And that's why I keep talking about this Super Bowl window. Don't let Pete Carroll get back in this thing, man. He's always been a thorn in our ass. And just when I thought, oh, well, they're rebuilding. We got it. We got plenty of time. We're going to get it. Just like that, though, they're back. And you better get this done now because, you know, this could be very well what it was in 2013, 2014. The Seahawks.
And that secondary is good, too.
Yeah, man. So we'll see. Now, Brandon Ayuk, if all Purdy got to do is get him the ball, Brandon Ayuk is going to have a season. I can tell you that right now. If he stays healthy, he is going on a tear because he is chasing the bag now, and it's his turn next. And I just hope that they pay him like they should. But, you know, sometimes you never know. He may be the one that they say, well, since we paid Bosa, you're going to get DeForest Buckner traded. I don't know. We'll see. And I'm not saying that ain't the right move. I don't know. I just want to win the Super Bowl. But we better hurry up because, yeah, Pete Carroll and them, they coming. You know, they showed us that last year. Yes, we beat them three times. We did beat them three times last year, but can we duplicate that? Let's get to this week one stuff. And since we're talking about the Niners, this is the one that everybody's talking about, this on Upsert Alert. Before we get to your Eagles, let's talk about the Niners at the Steelers. Bosa is here. He's there. He's going to play. I don't know how much. I think he should be on a 10-15 count snap, to be honest with you. Not any more than that. Or I think he should, you know, like play only on passing downs the first half. And, you know, depending on how the game goes, if he's okay, he's getting back in the feel of it, no cramping, no nothing. Hey, I gradually maybe let him play more in the second half. But, I mean, depending on how the game goes, you know he's going to start staying out there more and more and more. And that could get very, very, very scary, very dangerous. They're taking a chance here, a big risk. I got the Steelers winning this game. I've been circling this game all offseason. I said that Colton McKivitz, our right tackle, is not that good. Now, somebody, another 49er fan, Kenley Sellers, if you're listening, I know you said he's better than McGlinchey. I hope he is, but that ain't saying much. Anybody's better than McGlinchey. T.J. Watt is coming. That's all I'm saying. What y'all remember Martin Lawrence, the Martin Show, the sitcom when Mad Dog, you know, got out of prison, and what did the dude say at Nipsey's? He said Mad Dog is coming. I say Mad Dogs are coming. T.J. Watt coming. They're gonna have to use another tight end. They're gonna have to chip him. And who's that gonna be if Kittle's not playing? And if it is Kittle, that's why he always hurt, cause he's doing too much of that physical shit. Tight ends don't block anymore. They need to be running routes and getting catches. Like that's the new tight end shit. You know they try to Kittle. He uses Kittle like he's Shannon Sharp, like he's an old throwback. No, stop that. You're taking a lot of years off his career. So again, I'm not saying Shanahan can't coach up a good game plan to keep this guy off of Purdy's ass, but I think that if Pickett and Pickens are going to do what they are going to do, and if Najee Harris is going to get some stuff going on inside with the running game, if we don't clean that up, I don't know, man. We always get off to these slow starts. Last year, we lost week one in a monsoon in Chicago. We lost in Atlanta. We lost in Denver. The first 4 or 5 weeks, it just takes us a while to get into it. So I'm going to say Pittsburgh is going to beat us. I hope to God I'm wrong. But I'm picking the Steelers because I don't like being wrong. So we'll see. But I'm not taking my Niners here on week one. Bosa's not in full speed mode. I don't know how much he'll play. I don't know how much he'll be a factor. If he is a factor, man, you go, boy. You better. Like I said, he needs to get me 20-21 sacks, to be honest with you. $34 million per. But whatever. You're there. Show us. Do it. But don't get hurt. We can very well win this game, guys. But, man, I like the Steelers. I almost picked the Steelers to win the AFC North. So I'm going with the Steelers on this one.
Yeah, I'm going with the Steelers also. And I say that because I'm still under the impression that until Purdy shows me that elbow is fully healthy, I don't believe it is. Having an unhealthy throwing elbow going up against T.J. Watt, who's going to line up on that side every single play coming at you, it's just to be a disaster for Purdy and the 49ers. And listen, even if it is healthy, who's to say that Purdy won't come out and have some flashbacks the first time that Watt beats the right tackle badly?
Yeah,
I'm going with Pittsburgh, and until Purdy shows me that. That elbow is healthy. I'm not buying it, obviously.
Clean sweep. I'm going with Pittsburgh also.
Wow.
Because I got some questions about Purdy's health, kind of like Terrence was saying there. Plus, because I think the Steelers are going to be sneaky good. AFC North is a tough division. And so even though they may find themselves in the bottom half of that division when it's all said and done, that bottom half of that division could beat the top half of most other divisions. And so I'm going to take the Steelers to win this game as well. Mike Tomlin always finds a way to win some games that he shouldn't in order to keep, you know, to have these, 15 straight years of not having a non-winning season. I think he had one season where he actually finished 500. I'm rolling with the Steelers in a tight game, a physical game, obviously. But I think they pull it out.
And again, I hope I'm wrong. I really, really do hope I'm wrong. But I do worry about that interior run defense with or without Bosa. I do worry about that offensive line protection. I don't know. I mean, I hear they're getting better, but they're young. You know, they were young last year. They're young this year. And Shanahan did nothing. He just expects these people to get better as they play. And sometimes you just need to realize that, motherfucker, you probably drafted these people too soon. They probably shouldn't have been drafted for another round or two. And that's his issue at times. Man, he better win this whole thing, man. I tell you that. He better win this whole damn thing. On paper, it looks like we should blow him out of the water. You know, blow him out of the stadium. But, man, a road game to start week one against that defense? I don't know, man. We'll see. Hope I'm wrong. But, yeah, I didn't expect the clean sweep. But, yeah, there it is. I guess I'm not too far off then. With that pick. All right, Nick, your Eagles. And I don't think this is really upset alert, but since they're going on the road, they're going to New England. Bill Belichick, Mac Jones, Ezekiel Elliott, who knows you all very well. and I, you know, I heard that he was giving the playbook. He was, you know, showing a lot of film. And, hey, man, he's going to do this on this play. Watch. No, I'm joking. But still, he knows the Eagles. I don't think this is really upset alert. But Philly at New England, I'll let you start first, Nick, since this is your team. A lot of people seem to think that you guys are still going to be just as good. Some people do question, with you losing your OC and your DC, how good will the Eagles be? How good will Jalen Hurts continue to progress without the OC, who's gone now to Indianapolis, I believe? I know you're going to say, I'm going to let you say your part, but what happens in New England at Foxborough when the Eagles go to New England? Is this really going to be an upset?
No, and the fact is, I'm looking at this game now, and the line is -4 for Philly is almost disrespectful, in my opinion. This is probably I would say at least a double-digit win for us to open the season. We're better than them. That's just the bottom line. We're better on offense. We're better on defense. We're better in the trenches. We're better in the secondary. Better in the backfield. We're better at quarterback. We're better on the edges. We're a better team. All they got is arguably a better coach, seeing as he's the greatest coach of all time. Losing our defensive coordinator was really addition by subtraction, because he's basically the reason we lost the Super Bowl anyways. Offensive coordinator is a little bit more of a loss, but you know, Sirianni's got a good hold on that offense, so it'll be all right. We'll win the game, like I said, double digits, maybe 2 touchdowns to 17 points.
I'm also going with Philly. We can't keep having clean sweeps here, guys. But I will say, I do think that New England might surprise some people this year. I just can't see Belichick constantly having bad teams. So I do think that New England might make this a close, kind of a more of a defensive game at some point. So I don't think it'll be a blowout. Wouldn't be surprised if New England pulled out the upset and maybe won by a field goal late in the game. But I don't think it'll be a blowout. I'm picking Philly, but I wouldn't be surprised if New England snuck a victory in.
Yeah, it's not going to be a clean sweep because I'm picking my man, the Triple B, Mr. Triple B. He's on the hot seat.
Oh, shit.
Bill Belichick, bitch. I'm picking the Patriots.
Apparently he's on the hot seat and he's single all of a sudden, Jarvis.
He's single? Wow. Okay. Look, Bill Belichick has to do.
He and his longtime girlfriend split. I don't know why I just assumed he was married.
He wasn't. He sure wasn't married. Oh, Bill Belichick. Yo, player.
I see you, Billy.
Popcorn player. Look, I'm going to say this, though. He was raving about Mac Jones, and he didn't do it a lot about anybody. And I don't know how you want to take it. Take it with a grain of salt. Maybe he's just leading the fans on. I don't know. Trying to be optimistic. I don't know. But he said some good things about Mac Jones and how he's had a great training camp, great offseason. He's been a great leader. And he's really progressed. He's took another step from the way he was talking. And you know what? I don't know about the season because Bill O'Brien, you know, I don't care too much for him. And that's the reason why D-Hop didn't go there, I believe. And he went to Tennessee instead. But, man, just 1 week, one game at home. It's the Eagles. And, you know, as good as Jalen Hurts is, as good as the Eagles are, this is a game where they may have to adjust a little bit. A lot of young guys, the rookie Jalen Carter, I know he's going to be good, but maybe this is this one game that Bill Belichick has been preparing for months since the schedule came out. If they can't get anything else, maybe this is the one they can get. Maybe the Eagles just, I wouldn't say lay an egg, but they'll probably blow some opportunities. Maybe a turnover here or there that could keep this game close, just like the Lions game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, I can see that the Patriots actually still in one here. So I'm going to take the Patriots on the upset just to be different here. We're agreeing too damn much tonight.
I feel like you was being angry, so that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to be. Damn, we're agreeing too much today. Give me New England. I'm sure I'll be wrong, but I won't be surprised if I'm right. Now, there's not a really lot of good games in week one, to be honest with you. I think you got Atlanta and Carolina, I think. You got the Titans going to New Orleans. You've got the Ravens who are playing the Texans. I mean, they may be good games, but
on Monday night.
Yeah, let's just get straight to that one then, and we can wrap it up. I don't really
Cowboys and Giants on Sunday night.
I mean, the Giants hadn't beaten the Cowboys since when? So, yeah, nothing to talk about here. I think that's another win for Dallas. Again, Brandon Cooks on the opposite side of CeeDee Lamb. And what's his name? Stephon Gilmore on the opposite. Who?
Stephon Gilmore. Dolphins and Chargers.
Okay, give me the Dolphins on that one. Give me the Dolphins. I won't say why. I won't take the time on that one. But yeah, that sounds like that one could be interesting. Give me the Dolphins. I got high hopes on the Dolphins. Give me the Dolphins. I'll take the Dolphins on that one. That's a good one. What y'all think?
Dan, what you got?
I am also rolling with the Dolphins. I am predicting the Dolphins have a pretty good season here. That's contingent upon our buddy Tua staying healthy. So I'm going to roll with the Dolphins here.
Yeah.
Y'all got this. And I got Justin Herbert messed up. I'm going with the Chargers.
There you go. And the Chargers don't really have home games, though. Like, I mean, like, it's usually 60%.
They will, so I don't give a damn. I'm going with Justin Herbert and the Chargers.
I hear you.
All that damn talent on the team, they're going to show up at some point.
And yeah.
I think Justin Herbert is legitimately that guy. I think he's a baller.
He is.
Look out for Gerald Everett having a breakout season.
No,
Jerry, I agree. The tight end, absolutely.
Well, let me say this, Nick, because I don't want you or the listeners to think that I'm hating on Justin Herbert. I like me some Justin Herbert now. I'm just saying, somebody's got to put the pressure on him. Like, come on, man, you can't. Lamar Jackson wouldn't have got away with blowing a 21-point lead or whatever that was in the playoff game, you know. And I had been on his ass to get in the playoffs, and when he did, he screwed it up.
Now you're right about that. At the end of the day, even though yes, your defense started giving up points. You didn't score anymore.
And again, I've said this. Brandon Staley, this is his last year as the coach for the Chargers, I think. And so for that to happen, they're not going to be that good. They're going to be 10-7 again, something like that. Maybe 11-6.
I don't see that.
Maybe 11-6. But, I mean, what are they going to do in January? That's my thing. And they underachieve on the defensive side. They should be better. But anyway. I'll take the Dolphins on the road. I bet you there'll be 60% Miami Dolphin fans in there too. Anything else more interesting? I got the Cowboys on Sunday night. I think that's, well, let's see here. Is that in New York or in Dallas?
That's in New York.
It doesn't matter. They have to lose at some point. Yeah, they have to lose at some point to the Giants.
How many have they won in a row?
I think like 10.
Oh, okay, so they already passed 7.
Oh yeah, they passed that. And it could be 11. I don't know. Saquon Barkley, I just want to say this real quick to him. I think you're making a huge mistake signing that one-year deal and giving in when you should have just sat and made them pay you or wait. I don't know. Should have done something. You should have L-bailed it. You know what I mean, this is not going to work out. If you get hurt, you know you're not getting that bad. You know this is going to be it. And they're going to say, you see there? We told you. That's why we didn't give it to him. I think he's making a big mistake. Joe Burrow, he got paid before week one. He knew he was going to have that contract signed before he stepped on that field week one. You know, like, and he did a one-year deal. Josh Jacobs did the same thing. Did he? Didn't he? With the Raiders? I think
Dallas has beaten them 4 times in a row.
Okay, well, I saw something about 10. Like, the last 10 times. Is you sure it's just 4?
Last time the Giants beat them was January 3rd, 2021. They beat them 23-19.
Okay, it was a different stat. I saw something about the last something out of 10 or something with the Cowboys, and they hadn't been very successful though against the Cowboys. From what I saw,
have they ever beaten the Cowboys with Dak as a starter?
Dak would have been the starter for that game, wouldn't
he? I think this might have been what I saw. That Dak hadn't lost to them since like 2017, something like that.
So, and with that being said, listen,
no, Dak was not the starter. Andy Dalton was the starter
in 2017.
Dak was hurt.
Oh, you mean that 2021 game? There you go. Dak hadn't lost to them since 2017.
With that being said, Dak can't. I don't say he can't afford to lose this game, but. Listen, we know the rumors of Trey Lance will be behind Dak, so he better come out and not lose this game.
Yeah. I think they'll get that one, but yeah, I think Trey Lance possibly could be the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, I said it by week 5 when he comes to Levi Stadium. You heard it here first. I will not be surprised. All it's going to take is 2 picks and some Boo Birds and some Trey, get the warming up over there.
The only way this happens is if Dak is hurt. Mm-hmm. Dak would have to throw a lot of picks. Like, in order for Trey Lance to be the starter by week 5, Dak would have to like one of the worst quarterbacks of all time.
Well, it doesn't have to be a lot of picks. He doesn't have to get hurt. It could be pretty much, hey, the situational football, when he threw the pick, or how they're not just driving, they're not sustaining drives, they're not moving the chains enough. It just, everything just looks lethargic. Yeah.
Drive and Dak's arm would have to be falling off.
Right.
Well,
they had to be 0-4 heading into that game.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
All I know is Mike McCarthy has been raving about Trey Lance and his work ethic and his film sessions and all of that, and he's calling the plays.
I'll give you this, Jonathan. If you want to tell me that the shadow work behind the scenes or whatever is going to cause Dak to be quote-unquote injured for that game, and then suddenly it's Trey Lance leading the Dallas Cowboys in the Levi's Stadium, I might buy that.
It's a perfect script.
That would be fun. I would like to see that.
It's a perfect script.
I wouldn't want Dak to be hurt. Of course, I mean, I don't want anybody to get hurt. But you know, if that was to be the case, and it was just something he missed that game for, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in the storyline.
Right. Yeah, it'd definitely be a good storyline. William Jones will say that if that happens, that'll be an easy win for the Niners.
330 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Man, I tell you what. I've won a few games this year with the Dallas Cowboys on Madden so far, and they look like the best damn team on Madden, in my opinion.
If that happened, you probably want Kyle Shanahan fired on the spot. You can't even go back in the locker room and get his stuff. He just got to walk out the stadium with everybody else.
Man, Jed York better be at the lock at the tunnel waiting on him before he gets back there. Remember what Amy Adams, the general manager of the Tennessee Titans, did? Not general manager, but the owner of the Titans. As soon as A.J. Brown's just demolished the Tennessee Titans, that's when they gave John Robinson, former general manager, his walking papers. So that's exactly what should happen. If he came to San Francisco and whooped our ass, I don't give a damn if it is midseason. Those picks that I was telling you about that we didn't get for Trey Lance, you can get them for Kyle Shanahan. It just who wants them, and what you're willing to give up for them. Man. But we'll see. Again, William Jones said if that was to happen, that'll be an easy win for us. I don't know about that. We'll see. We're a good team. We're a very good team. We just can't afford to get hurt. Not much. That's all I'm saying. Or not long. But, yeah. So, I'm going to say the Cowboys are going to win, though, but I don't think it'll be pretty. And I think there'll be whispers. Like, hey, Trey, he's really looking good in his practices. I know he's number 3 right now, but, man, you think it'll be hard to jump Cooper Rush? Anyway, what else is interesting before we get out of here?
Hanging with Mr. Cooper Rush was balling last year. That was
your boy. I was happy and impressed with the wins, but you know he wasn't balling. I was just, you know,
boy, man.
You know what I was doing. Any way to say that Dak is holding the Cowboys back, I'm with it. You know that. But I'm going to tell you why they were winning, though. Because Cooper Rush, is he Dak? No. But guess what he didn't do? He didn't give the ball to the other team. And that's what the Cowboys, hell, the players on the Cowboys are sick of that. And I'm telling you, he can't afford to do that much early. They will be ready to look over at Cooper or Trey and say, man, what you got? Because they don't believe in him, man. They don't believe in him. Not even his teammates. I don't think there's any more games. Buffalo, New York, Monday night. I got the Ravens and the Texans. I don't know. I can't wait to see C.J. Stroud. I would like to see what he's about, but he's young, he's a pup, and the Ravens are coming. And this is going to be a nice little, probably, well, I don't want to disrespect D'Amico Ryan and his defense, but this may be a good scrimmage game for the Ravens to kind of loosen up, with that new offense, whether they're in Baltimore or in Houston. But let's just quickly get to the Monday night game then. Jets, Bills. What y'all think?
Nick, I'll let you go first on that one.
I'm going with the bad man. Aaron Rodgers is gonna come in there and do his thing. Jets are at home for that one. Okay, yeah. Aaron Rodgers' first game at home as a New York Jet. They're coming out with the W, man. He'll have a very Aaron Rodgers-esque game. I'm thinking 300 plus yards, probably 3 touchdowns, no picks.
Damn.
And they'll roll out with a W. Matter of fact, let me go see what that parlay looks like.
Right. So, listen, based on how I felt about Buffalo from last season, that is going to carry over into this season until they show me something different. Jets seem like they are going to at least make an attempt to be pretty doggone good on the ground. With Cook, Breece Hall, I'm going to go with the Jets. I think they'll play a better, more physical game. And Sauce Gardner, whoever's over there where he is, or out of the game, but this, if that's Diggs, Sauce Gardner will have an answer for it. And no Diggs to me, no Josh Allen, so I'm going with the Jets.
No Diggs?
No, I'm saying he'll be there, but I think Sauce Gardner will neutralize him enough to where.
Oh, okay.
I think he won't be totally in the game, but
yeah,
Sauce is pretty doggone good over there.
Sauce is good. Sauce is good. The Jets are so overhyped, I think, though. I mean, again, I like what Aaron Rodgers did. I like the fact that he's trying to make the, you know, do the right thing for the team and spread that money around so they can, you know, do what they're capable of doing. At least we think they are. Breece Hall is back. Dalvin Cook is added to the roster. Like, yeah, it looks like they should win a lot of games this year. But, man, how many teams have been successful on Hard Knocks? You see how the Detroit Lions got off to a terrible start. 1-6. Then they got it turned around, but it was a little too late. But they went on Hard Knocks this year. Watch out. I'm going with the Buffalo Bills, damn it. It's just too much hype in New York. And, you know, like, yeah, it's the first night. They got to adjust. They got to – Von Miller's healthy right now. Well, now Von Miller's not going to be there. But there's some problems with the Jets' offensive line. And I don't know about you all, but Aaron Rodgers isn't the same guy who can move around with his legs and get out and do the things that made him really a bad, bad man. So he may still be a bad man, but he ain't a bad, bad man. I'm taking the Buffalo Bills because of the Jets' offensive line. I don't think it's as good as people think it is, or people know it's not that good. They just somehow seem to think that because they've got Aaron Rodgers and they've got these receivers that they're going to be okay. But tell me this, Mecole Hardman, how good is he without Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid? What's his name? Lazard. How good is Lazard? Really? He all right.
You're also not asking Mecole Hardman to be your first or second best receiver either.
Well, who is the second receiver?
Well, the Jets, though,
are
probably
Alan
Lazard, yeah.
Yep, see, that as I see.
That's what he was in Green Bay, so that's
and that ain't saying much. Green Bay didn't do a damn thing with Lazard. So I'm just saying.
What you mean?
They didn't do a damn thing with Lazard. They lost week 17 at home to Detroit. They didn't make the postseason. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because he was the number one at that point.
Okay,
he's not good as a number one, but he can work as a number two.
Okay, all right.
That's what he was to Devontae.
I'm just saying they've got a lot of weapons. They got a lot of names, but I don't know how good of a weapon they are. You know, it's a lot of B's and C's, in my opinion, outside of Garrett Wilson. And, you know, Garrett Wilson will get his shine on. But I'm just saying, like, Lazard, Hartman, Randall Cobb is washed. Come on, man. I mean, it's not as good as people think it's going to be, especially if he can't get the protection. And, again, I'm going to say this. Aaron Rodgers, he's still that dude. But let's not act like Aaron Rodgers didn't miss some throws, throws that he normally would make. As a Green Bay Packer last season, he missed some throws that was like easy, and he would like, what is that, Aaron Rodgers? So I'm just saying.
I don't take much out of last season for Aaron Rodgers. So
okay, all right, we will see. We will see. I just think they're just overhyped a little bit. And again, I don't give a damn what Robert Saleh is saying with his speeches and everything. But damn it, Kansas City, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Miami, you're going to beat all of those teams and get to the Super Bowl? If you do that, yes, you definitely deserve to be the Super Bowl. Now, if they add one more star, like a Mike Evans or something like that, then yeah, they're pretty much telling us like the Rams did a few years ago that they just got too damn much, like Tampa Bay did a few years. They just got too damn much. But I don't think they got enough at wide receiver. They got a lot of names, but I don't think they're – outside of Garrett Wilson, I don't think they've got much. I hope they run the ball more, and I hope that offensive line does – better than what it looks like, for what I'm hearing. And I'm going to leave it at that. Give me Buffalo, though, for week one. Buffalo doesn't finish well, but they start on fire. So we'll see how that goes, though. Should be interesting. Anything else worth talking about week one? Tennessee and New Orleans.
I did put that parlay together on DraftKings because FanDuel won't let you do it.
Okay.
I'm going to start moving my stuff over to DraftKings. But anyway. Aaron Rodgers, 300 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and the Jets minus 2.5 is a plus 1,600 parlay on DraftKings right now. So
minus 2.5. That's exactly what the Chiefs were tonight, weren't they?
Yeah, the Bills are actually favored.
Oh, I thought you. Oh, my. Okay. Oh, I thought the Jets were favored. Okay.
The Bills are a 2.5-point favorite.
Oh. Yeah, the Jets may win then. I didn't check the line on it, but I'm going to stick with Buffalo. We'll see. I'm going to stick with Buffalo. Diggs and Gardner, that will be interesting. How did that work out last year? I don't remember their matchups. Who got the best of who? They played twice, I know, but does anybody remember?
I do not remember. Okay, no.
What's that again?
Gardner, Sauce Gardner, and Diggs. Who got the best of who last year with their two matchups, if anybody caught it or remembers?
It seems like I remember the Bills kind of going at him a little bit. I think Diggs may have gotten a touchdown on him.
Yeah, Diggs is still top five, man. Let's not get that twisted now.
Oh, Diggs is nice.
But Sauce is a bad boy, no doubt. You know why I'm not picking the Jets? Because I wish they'll just shut the fuck up and play ball. I know the camera's been on them a lot through the Hard Knocks and everything, but DJ Reed, a former 49er, and I don't know why we lost him or don't have him anymore. I thought it was a nickel corner. William Jones, let me know on Facebook if you hear this. But he's a Jet now. Y'all heard the shit he said the other day. I think we could be historic. We could be the LOB. We could be the 85 Bears.
I got your answer if y'all interested.
What's that?
Stephon Diggs played 2 games against the Jets last year. He totaled 8 catches for 130 yards, and no touchdowns.
That's in 2 games?
That's in 2 games. One game he had 5 catches for 93. Other one was 3 for 37.
Okay, so I guess we could say that neither one of them dominated either each other. But
he got locked up in second one. Ain't no doubt about that.
Oh, okay. So
let's see what they look like on the first one. But that second one, he got locked up. That's 3 for 37.
Yeah,
nah, they ain't gonna cut it.
All right, well, let's see. I'm sure Diggs can redeem himself if Josh Allen will get him the ball. I still think that's a rocky relationship, though. Even though I'm picking Buffalo, watch out for that. Just really unfold at some point before the trade deadline. I still won't be surprised if Diggs is traded somewhere before this is over with. Just depends on how the season goes. When they say it's water under the bridge and not try to explain or say it wasn't this, I don't believe it. The same thing that got Diggs out of Minnesota will get his ass out of Buffalo too. But that's all I got, guys. Again, I don't really see anything else we're talking about. I will say this, guys. I picked the Saints to win the NFC South. But if Desmond Ridder is halfway decent, the Falcons are probably going to win the South. I saw their schedule today, and man, I wish it was my team schedule. They have it made in the shade. I mean, like, seriously. Look at it. Check it out. Anybody that's listening, check out the Falcons schedule. It's easy as fuck. Them motherfuckers might win the NFC South. Just wanted to throw that out. I'm going to stick with the Saints again. But I'm sure Derek Carr is gonna have me wrong yet again. We'll see. But the Falcons' schedule, oh my God! The only way they don't win this thing is if Desmond Ridder isn't that dude, and Taylor Heineke isn't either at backup. But if either one of them can make it work, man, watch out! Watch out, Atlanta! Watch out for Atlanta! The South is very weak, so watch out. I got Tampa Bay at the bottom, and I don't know between Atlanta and New Orleans. Carolina, what y'all think about Bryce Young before we leave? Bryce Young, how do you think he starts out?
I'm actually optimistic about all of the rookies. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson. I think all those guys have bright futures, and I wouldn't be surprised if I think I made mention of this during our division picks for the NFC South. I wouldn't be surprised if Carolina kind of made a little noise in the NFC South and
I got you. That was my upset too. Also, Anthony Richardson and the Colts. Who are they playing this week? Oh, Sunday.
They are playing.
I think it's a division.
No. The Raiders are playing the Texans. The Colts are playing Jaguars. They're playing Jaguars.
The Colts playing the Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Colts at home.
Give me Anthony Richardson the Colts in an upset.
I wanted to respond earlier, too. I don't have much faith in the Panthers. I think that's the Saints' division to lose the NFC South. I don't think the Panthers will make that much noise. I think they're supposed to be without DJ Moore and Adam Thielen possibly on Sunday.
DJ Moore's in Chicago. DJ Moore's a Chicago Bear.
Not DJ Moore, DJ Chark.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, there you go. I'm taking the Colts to win the upset, against Jacksonville, and I am I don't have a lot of the Panthers got some defense, it's solid, but Bryce Young, I don't know yet. I don't know just yet. Watch out for the Colts. I know they're not gonna win the division or anything like that, but that division isn't very good, and everybody's just drooling at the mouth over Jacksonville for what they did last year. Let's not forget the Titans had to lose 7 straight games to finish the season for the Jaguars to do what they did and get to the postseason. And I don't think the Titans are gonna do that this year. D-Hop has got a lot of people on his hit list. He named the Niners, the Cowboys, the Giants, among some of the teams that didn't answer the phone or call back when he reached out as a free agent. And man, I just think people are tweaked out right now. They think D-Hop ain't got it anymore. He's about to snap the fuck out. And I said that shit with Tannehill, with Malik Willis. I don't give a damn who the quarterback is. That dude has done more with less in this league. Look it up. Anybody that thinks D-Hop is done, they don't know football. And they don't know D-Hop. Just wanted to say that shit. But yeah, give me Anthony Richardson. He's going to do some shit with that offensive coordinator, or used to be offensive coordinator, that left Philly. You saw what he did to Jalen Hurts. You saw what he did with Justin Herbert. Watch out for Anthony Richardson. And I'm done. Guys, it's been a great show. And we had a great opening night. Thursday night, Chiefs lose to the Lions. I opened the season up with a dub. Feels great. Would have felt even greater if Pacheco could have got 50 yards, you mother. Anyway, we'll be back next week. We'll recap everything that happens on Sunday. Terrence has a new offense in Baltimore. I know he can't wait to see that. Gonna be like Candyland, OBJ. I can't wait to see this. I can't wait to see it. Hope everybody enjoys their games on Sunday. I hope everybody gets a win. Although everybody can't get a win. But can't wait to see. I won't be surprised if Terrence is the only one with a win when we get back here on Monday. But we'll see.
I will.
Let's go, Bill Belichick. Let's go. And we out of here. It's the Great Debate Show. Y'all got anything else before we wrap it up, man?
Hey, that's it for me, man.
It's a freaky Friday. Who's gonna be looking for one?
Kadarius Toney.
Man, that was pretty bad. Mike Evans is on the phone with his agent right now. Like, man, get me over there. watch that shit happen. All right, guys, we're out of here. Great show once again. We covered it all. AFC West, NFC West. Recapped Chiefs Lions. Previewed Week 1. And we hope we have some good games. We talked about Bosa's contract. He's paid, got the bag. And Chris Jones, we'll see what happens with him. Joe Burrow, $275 million man. Congrats. I wish I was in the family right about now. But that's neither here nor there. We'll be back next week to recap it all. Week 1. Whatever y'all do out there, please be safe. We out.
Peace out, guys.